is it something really, really cool? Of course it is. It will be the greatest achievement humanity has ever made. But I do not think that the first people there who will go there will be having all the, you know, the perks that will come in 4, 5, 6, maybe 10 generations.
The first humans that are going to Mars will be absolute heroes forever in the human history. They will write human history like the moon mission, you know? So I think everything is about Mars now.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that will be the same.
I think it will be extremely more valuable, actually, because it's so far away and you are so isolated on that little red planet, on that big red planet, actually.
Hear me out on this. If Elon Musk, if SpaceX sends people to Mars, and whoever lands there, he's gonna be a hero. But the real hero, the person who is going to go into the history books, is going to be Elon Musk.
You think, as a visionary?
I'm 100% sure about it. If SpaceX makes it to Mars, Elon Musk will be immortal.
Yeah, SpaceX will make it to Mars, no question about it. But he as a person, you mean? He's not an astronaut.
No, not like literally immortal. Okay. But his name will be immortal. He will be remembered forever.
I think that already could be the case, actually, because
Elon Musk right now is the crazy entrepreneur, scientist guy. But then he will be really historically relevant forever, because he is the person who, because nobody was talking about going to Mars before Elon Musk started talking about going to Mars. And I think what a lot of people miss about the whole SpaceX issue is going to Mars is not the actual goal. The goal is by putting a goalpost there and saying, okay, we have to go to Mars. We have to get people to Mars, and then we have to get back. By just saying that, you will have to create a lot of new technologies, a lot of new ideas. You will have to get the best brains. The same way as we wanted to go to the moon, as the United States wanted to go to the moon, they had to get the best of the best of the best. They got German war criminals, and they got some Russians, and they got some, you know, they got the best of the best, and they put them together in an organization and said, this is what we want to achieve. It has no or very little commercial value, but we will have the bragging rights like forever. And they managed to do that. They pulled it off. And the same thing will be with Mars, because from my opinion, the most important technology that we will be creating through this Mars missions and through the fact that we will put boots on Mars and get them back is the fact that we will make leaving the orbit of the Earth so much cheaper. Which they already have done by the reusable rockets. It will make it so much cheaper that it will be easier and much commercial. It will be commercially viable to fly to the orbit of the Earth and build things there.
Going to space is one thing. Discovering what is around us is the other thing. We don't know much about Mars. We know much about the Mars atmosphere. We know much about the landscape of Mars, of course, because we have several photographs around of the planet, and we have a Mars rover stationed there that is also available for us to use. But so we know there are no Martians running around naked in the mornings when they're trying to make their way into the shower without being discovered by NASA. But I think the biggest challenge would be to bring actually people over there, make a human settlement, and then see what happens over there. Maybe they're all going to die in a Mars storm. I don't know.
The first thing is get people there and get them back alive. This will be the first and the most important thing. As soon as we have done that, the next thing is we have to settle. Like the same way we have the ISS, we are going to have something similar like the ISS on the surface of Mars.
We have to get used to being in this kind of an environment, because maybe some of the viewers that are watching this don't realize it, but it is a hazardous environment, and it is really against life to be within the vacuum of space. So that's why it is completely dangerous and completely dumb, actually, to go in this direction and not just stay on Earth, where it's safe for us to live, where it's pro-human environment keeps us alive all the time, as long as we don't trample it, but we don't crush it. It's only a thin atmosphere between life and death that protects us on Earth. So I put a lot of hope in the topic of terraforming as well, to form the Mars or another planet that is within reach, maybe in the next few thousand years, to ruin Earth. That's okay then, and then we go to another planet, and then we ruin this planet as well, and then we go to another planet and ruin this one as well. So we ruin the whole galaxy. I think that's the purpose of humanity, don't you think?
We're like, we are a virus, and planets catch us, and then they know, like, oh shit, I have, like, there we go, 60,000 years, and I'm going to be a rock.
Yeah, everything. We go to Mars. We when the first McDonald's opens on Mars, yeah, it is all over.
It's all over.
It's all over.
Oh man, I'm more optimistic than that. I'm much more optimistic than that. I think going through space and going to Mars and I think for the humanity to realize how vast, how big everything is, and how insignificant we are in comparison to the whole. I think that is very, that can be really, really humbling. And I think there's a lot of technologies that can come out of the space travel that will help us ruin the Earth less.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, if the very second it becomes commercially viable to mine asteroids, we don't have, like, if we can mine asteroids and we have, I don't know, iron ore and everything there, that moment, we don't, mining on Earth will be over. It you know, it's like the same thing when you find electric light. The moment that electric light became available to everybody, gas lights were done. They were over. But it took a while to, of course, for the technologies to spread. But I think in our the way the Earth is now, the way technology spreads very, very quickly, and also develops much quicker, I think very, really soon we will stop mining. We will really start maybe using Earth as a living space, and use the space to around us to, you know, fuck shit up, you know. we will do stupid stuff in space, but without having a direct reaction on our life here.
I also have another interesting thought for you, because we're living in the virtual reality era, as you know, because everything is going towards virtual reality, and also one of the projects of Elon Musk is to the audio problem. I don't know what that was, but Elon Musk is also planning to chip us in our brains. He is trying to link digital media, like, for example, your smartphone with your brain.
Let me explain that, because you're
no, yeah, we can talk about that later. But I want to finish a thought. Why don't we go everywhere in our galaxy, not as humans, because it's such an uninhabitable environment there. It's such an environment that's against humans. Why don't we go as a machine? If we learn to transfer our consciousness onto a robot, for example, or onto a machine that works like a human, has limbs and legs and something like that, you could also experience everything a human does.
That's exactly what we're doing right now.
We are?
That's exactly what... Of course, Mars rovers. You talked about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. We're trying that now, but just
not in a very very science fiction-y way, not very dramatic. But a Mars rover, what is it? It has sensors. Mm-hmm. So you have senses like we have touch and smell. It has much significant sensors. It has a better view. It is fueled by. Is it possible that it has like a small atom reactor on board?
No, it's just fueled by the sunlight, you know, photovoltaic.
Yeah, yeah. Or that, whatever. So it doesn't need food, it doesn't need water, it needs very little maintenance.
It works like it works as a proxy for us. It experiences.
And it is not only as good. It's not only just as good as a human. It's much better, because it's more. Rough. It doesn't need a supply chain, so you don't have to worry about food, drink, clothes, sleep. It can work 24/7. And it is expendable. That's also a very important part. So if it breaks, you know, okay, it's tough, it's hard. We worked on it like for 10 years, but okay, it's a piece of equipment. You can throw it away.
But also, it's the name of the new Mars rover is Perseverance. Yeah, like it's durable. It lives on Mars better than humans do, actually. So it begs the question: when are we going to transfer consciousness onto machines? When are we going to do that?
The question is, why should we?
To experience things humans couldn't experience. For example, 1,000-year travel to another planet with sublight speed. A human could not live in that huge lifespan. To experience something like that, to go beyond the borders of human nature, you could transfer your consciousness, of course, onto a machine. You could die physically, and you could really not copy, but transfer your consciousness onto another machine, maybe. Why not?
Okay, so basically, the reason, because you just basically said what I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. The only reason to try to copy your consciousness onto a machine is to keep this consciousness alive for longer than your physical body would be alive.
Or maybe the second reason would be to keep your consciousness alive in environments that are not suitable nor not good for the human body, of course.
Good. But the question is, in that case, why will you need your whole consciousness in there? Because in that case, like, you can send a robot, okay? You can send a Mars rover, and you have a camera, and you don't need to have a consciousness in there. All you have to do is put on VR goggles, and then you're there. And you can put sensors on your hand, and you can feel a lot of things, and you can move its arms and whatever. Like
is it really the same? Because if you look at Pornhub, for example, I don't want to commercialize that here, but Pornhub already has a virtual reality service available for you, like POV sessions where you can have sex with supermodels or something like that. And also, at the same time, it's not the same as having sex with that supermodel in real life. So is that really a substitute for being there?
But, you know, you're talking about two very different things. The one thing we are talking about now is practicality. It is like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's practical. But is it the same?
No. Let me finish this. I want to rebuttal that, because it is not practical to have a whole consciousness on a machine just so it can go and do some tasks. For that, you can, as I said, put a VR goggle and do that. But if you want to copy your consciousness on a machine to have some sort of experiences...
Yeah, it's about the experience.
You not have experience, as a human, like fly through space or whatever. But it will not be the same, and you can do that with a camera. Like, you know, basically that's what a camera is. It gives you, like, it copies something and then gives you the sensation in your eyes. So that it will be like watching a movie, whatever you will do. But I don't think that copying your consciousness onto a machine has a practical value, and besides trying to live forever, trying to stay, keep your consciousness alive for a very, 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 very long time. That's basically the only reason I think it's viable. But then you have to ask yourself the question: what kind of a life is that? What kind of experience it will be for the person whose consciousness has been put on a machine, and now he's like, maybe it's gonna be hell. You don't know.
There are already those heroes out there on the International Space Station. They are risking their lives every day. They are trying they go to work, they are trying to push the human race forward. Essentially, they give up their life. They devote their life to this cause. Also in the military all over the world, they devote their life to this cause. They are soldiers. That's what they do. So we don't. Of course, we wouldn't send an artist up there in a robot body that could never die. So we would send the consciousness of a soldier that actually wants to spend his time while he's existing in some form or another to explore the world around him. Maybe this subject could change, but
it doesn't make it okay.
Well, what is okay and what is not?
It's called morality. You might have heard of it.
No, never heard of it.
It's not okay for me to punch you in the face because you say something stupid.
You can't actually, because you're on the International Space Station right now, and the backdrop is just green screen. I'm on Mars, actually. That's why it's so a little bit orange here. I already live on Mars. And this is my crib, you know? So, yeah.
Manuel is the original Martian. Just to get back to that point, I think there is no reason to do that. Look, the only thing we need is a really super fast connection to a robot. Yeah. I don't think that you need to copy your consciousness, because the sensor technology and also the input, the technology that gives you the information will get so good that it is almost as if you were that machine. Like you will have direct input into your brain, so you will smell, feel, you know, everything. So you will have such a realistic experience without needing to copy your whole consciousness on that, because we are not really sure about how consciousness works and how we can copy it, manipulate it, can we save it onto a, you know, digitalize it? We don't know all that. The chances, maybe it's possible, maybe it's not possible. But as I said, you can have in the future, you will be able to have a really, really, really good experience of whatever a proxy is doing somewhere. There's a movie with Bruce Willis. It's called Surrogates. Where humanity, basically nobody goes out anymore. Everybody's in their home in this machine where they are controlling robots that are out there walking around, talking and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you basically live your life through machines. And that's more realistic to me than, you know, copying human consciousness onto some really something. And, you know,
there's also this TV series called Battlestar Galactica, and the prequel called Caprica, where the story of a little girl is being told, and she and her consciousness is being transferred into a war robot, and she's actually creating by accident the first artificial intelligence that's the future basic. Spoiler alert, for the Cylons, the artificial intelligence life forms that are hunting down the humans later in Battlestar Galactica. So
there is a very good episode of Black Mirror called, I think it's called White Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually one of the best episodes of Black Mirror, where they really go through the idea of being able to copy consciousness onto a machine and its implications. For example, in that episode, suddenly a woman wakes up and she is like in a white room.
Yeah.
And somebody tells her, you are not real. You are just a copy of a consciousness of a person. And we have done it because you are basically her, let's say like her Siri or like her Google Home now. And you have some tasks to do every day. At this o'clock, at this time, she will wake up and then you have to make her coffee. And then you have to, turn on the oven, set the house temperature and, really basic tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And this consciousness inside this machine is like, no, I'm real. I'm alive. I can live. So what this person who is like the programmer for this consciousness basically does is just close it and turn the time on like fast forward. And while like in the reality is like seconds are passing, for this person it's like months are passing, like for this consciousness in the machine. And then he turns it on again and says, okay, how are you feeling now? And this woman is like completely devastated and she's like, there is nothing to do here, I cannot even sleep. Like this is like hell. This is like you are snatched out of reality and put in there. And she's like, you can literally just exist and nothing is happening. You have no sensory input.
Yeah, that's of course very sad if you have no sensory input. But you could also sleep, of course. But sleep would sleep be like death? Well, if we are able to transfer consciousness onto a robot body, maybe we could also find a way to actually make sleep happen again, because the consciousness, of course, is used to that.
I do not know, but in that case, it was not possible for her, for this copy
of course,
real consciousness, which is copied on a machine to sleep. But the thing is, what kind of a... Like the whole thing was as soon as we have this technology to copy consciousness, that we should really sit down and think deeply about it, what we are doing there.
Yeah, I think we're actually very close, because people are thinking about that since a few centuries, and Elon Musk is actually the closest person that has a viable technology that's working to tap into the human consciousness, to link it with digital media. And he's trying to tell us, of course, he's trying to tell the story of the man that's trying to build better smartphones or link the human body. But he also has a philosophy behind that, because he told people before, he thinks maybe killer robots are going to destroy humanity, and artificial intelligence is also maybe someday turning against the humans. And his motto is, if you can't beat it, join it and become the artificial intelligence we are so afraid of. You know, we are so afraid of an artificial intelligence that's going to kill us someday in the future. Maybe the best way to prepare for that would be to become an artificial intelligence ourselves, so we don't have to be afraid. We're also as fast thinking and moving as an artificial intelligence would be. So maybe become the first artificial intelligence there is, so that this move doesn't have to happen. The robots don't have to turn against humanity and destroy every human alive, because humans are already
of the technology that he's working on. It's called Neuralink, I think, right?
Yeah, Neuralink. Yeah,
yeah. Neuralink it is possibly the first step in that direction, but the main objective of Neuralink right now is to create a bigger bandwidth between man and machine.
Yeah, that's what he tells us. But he's also 10 steps ahead of what he's releasing right now on information.
No, I think it's really obvious that it is going into the direction of, can we really, copy a human consciousness onto a machine? It's it is going into that direction. But at the same time, we have to understand that right now we are just creating a bigger bandwidth to machines. So instead of, you know, typing texts or, you know, recording videos or recording audio, we could basically just put like our thoughts onto a machine, and another person can just read them, like put them in their brain directly. So that way we can
would be way more effective too.
We will be way more effective, and we will have like maybe 15-year-old PhDs in like multiple disciplines or something like that. Because the amount of information you put into the amount of information you can put into your brain will be much faster. You're not relying on just reading or listening or you know, something like that. You will have it directly in your head.
To be human, this experience will be destroyed forever. From this point on, the experience would be completely different. And think about that. Think about that. Maybe our generation, or the generation that becomes, or the generation that follows us, maybe this generation of humans will be the last humans on Earth with the original experience.
Yeah, but what is the original experience?
The original experience is when your spouse does not detect all your thoughts, and she doesn't know that you have another spouse in another city or something like that, because that's the way you want to enjoy life.
From your own experience there.
No. But you decide so much as a human, and you're not always extremely honest. And you can't be extremely honest in certain situations. Talking about business, if you talk about money, if you're trying to make a deal, you can't be as honest as possible. If the other one has every information, if you can't control how much information your opponent gets, if he knows everything, you don't have to talk about it at all. There is no tension in there, there is no sex in that.
There is a small mistake in your train of thought, and I want to address it. we do not know what kind of people we will be if we cannot lie. We just basically don't know that. And saying that being human means being able to lie is, I cannot accept that.
No, that's not. I mean, in human interaction, that's the experience. But also, you could exist ten times if you like.
I totally disagree, because look, who is the original human? Like, was the hunter gatherer the original human?
Yeah, maybe.
As soon as he started growing crops using technology, basically, using a bow and arrow or a spear to hunt and become more efficient in his hunting, then he changed. And then he, you know, started growing crops, then he changed. And then he started, you know, building cities, building a civilization, building machines, being more efficient in what he's doing. That's something human. I think that's a very integral part of being human. So we, by doing this, we are just being human. And I think the same, look, me and you, we remember a time, I'm going to date us, but we remember a time where it was not normal to be on your phone all the time.
Yeah.
It was not normal to sit in front of a computer and talk to your friend who lived like 3 hours away and have a discussion with him. It was not possible. But it happened in front of our eyes, and we adapted. And now we have problems, and we will have these problems, and then we will find ways to address these problems, and we will find ways around this problem, as we have always done. The main thing is we create something which is far bigger than we realize, and then we work on it, and then we say, okay, we need some sort of a rule set of how we should go about our business with this thing, because it might be very it's affecting us negatively in this way and that way. Like, look, the first per people who started writing and they wrote letters. They changed the human experience. Because before that, you had to tell somebody, or you have to go there and tell them yourself. But once we started writing, once we started
trying to transmit information to another person,
giving information, what is in our brain, like language, basically. Human speaking? Because the moment you started talking, you could be more efficient and in sharing your thoughts and your ideas.
That's why we learned it.
You had to maybe point and grunt, but then you started being more efficient. And I think this is just another step in that evolution that humanity is going. But it's a very giant leap because of that we have a technology that can give us a really, really giant leap. And Elon Musk himself in his few interviews said, once we have it, you will not have to speak anymore.
What kind of rules would you implement in such a world where we are completely transformed humans? We are immortal, of course. We could move anywhere. We could copy our consciousness on Mars if we like, and the next day on Pluto. Of course, we have the same human experience because we're in the future, a dystopian world where we could build human bodies, for example, and we change them as we move through our existences. And of course, we are able to sleep.
Amazon Prime show, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. This one Amazon Prime show with a chip in your neck.
what is it called again?
I've forgotten the name, but I'm not going to Google it because it makes me dumb. Yeah.
Kovac.
Kovac. That's the name you remember.
Takeshi Kovac. I will remember the name. It will come to me.
I like the fact that they put an Asian character into a normal Caucasian American body so they can appeal to both markets at the same time. It's just genius. Maybe he's black too. I don't know.
He is black in the second season.
He really is? I haven't watched the second season. Oh my god. Of course he's
the black guy. Takeshi Kovac is the black dude.
Oh, of course. Of course. If I would be the showrunner, I would have done it the same way. Not.
Yeah.
But okay.
So of course you would have had done it the same way. But yes, but the question is, at a certain point we will keep evolving, and I think the far future of humanity is a humanity without bodies. Like, maybe we're just existing digitally, maybe we are just in machines in big data farms, or maybe, Manuel, let me give you another thought, maybe we are there already.
Are we?
We don't know.
You mean someone is there already? Or do you think your consciousness is being played out by a gigantic world simulation server where you are the only player and everyone around, except for me, of course, as the administrator, is just are just NFCs?
No, I don't think that my consciousness is the only consciousness being created. I think every consciousness, like if in that case, if this is a simulation, every consciousness was ever been and will ever be is created by a simulation, and you are real just the same as I am real and everybody else is real, but we are inside a simulation and we don't know, we cannot know it, because it's not simulating only the world or the, you know, our solar system, it's simulating the whole thing. It's like,
well, talking about simulations, that's actually I think simulations is a very interesting topic we should cover on Collective Podcast and also on the Collective Magazine, maybe with an expert, I don't know, a simulation expert, because what is a simulation actually? Because as you are trying to make your point, you're talking about about us living in a simulation, but is that then a simulation at all, or is it just real? You know, because a typical simulation doesn't have to be real. In a typical simulation, you're just talking about calculating trajectories of planets and trajectories and you're trying
simulation. These are the crude simulations that we have now. But mm-hmm. think imagine we just found fire and imagine smartphones. Like
the question is what is the answer you're trying to get from this extra real simulation that you could not get from a crude simulation of humanity? So that's why I don't think it's a simulation, because what is the benefit of a crude simulation of the human species versus an exact simulation of every second of every human being on Earth or something like that? That's, I think, going the extra mile a little bit too far.
Yes, but maybe it is a very... Look, the thing is, you're saying it is a very exact simulation. What is exact? Because maybe for whoever is doing the simulation, it's really crude.
Yeah.
It's just our point of view that it's really exact.
Well, you
know? So
I don't think to actually create.
Imagine we are talking about we live in a, like you're saying, like, infinite space. Okay, but space is like three-dimensional for us. But maybe
it's four-dimensional.
Simulating, they are living. Huh?
It's four-dimensional, of course. Yeah.
No, four-dimensional is time.
Yeah.
So space in itself still is three-dimensional. So that you cannot. But maybe they are living in a nine-dimensional space. We don't know. And maybe our reality is really, really crude. Like, it's dumbed down. Maybe it's, we are like just like for them, we are like stick people, like, you know, the stick figures.
That, yeah,
maybe for them we are just that crude. We don't know.
And why would that be interesting for them, as they live on a higher plane of existence with more dimensions and everything of that? I don't think that is very realistic, actually. But there's always the question,
but why not?
That there's always the question of why do we exist? And maybe we could talk about that in the next episode of our collective podcast. Why do we exist? Yeah. And yeah, I think we're going to find the answer, actually, Homer. I think no one can except us, of course. We are the candidates, the right ones. We're the ones that are going to tell you next time you watch this podcast.
All the PhDs and scientists and geniuses in the world.
Fuck them. No one needs them.
Two dumb asses are going to answer the most significant and most important and groundbreaking questions of the humanity.
No problem.
On our podcast, Collective.
Yeah.
Here to inspire.
We're going to make podcast great again. Since you're there, maybe you could try to subscribe, because we need some subscribers, some international subscribers that are actually going to watch our videos. So if you subscribe, you're obliged to watch every video that is released on this channel. Even if you don't understand any German, you do have to turn on captions, automatic translation, to watch those videos in German as well. So you better learn German.
It will make no sense whatsoever. Yeah, because then Manuel is saying all the time, it's not the yellow of the eye, of the egg.
It's the best.
That's
English.
That's an inside joke. Yeah. You will understand it one day.